Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, depending on what part of the world you're in, and welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. My name is Lisa Gunshore, and I am your host, as always, as we go on this mystical journey through our lives on planet Earth. And I will remind everybody, I've got some gold on today. We're asking everybody to wear some kind of gold or gold ribbon to represent our stance on violence. We are standing against violence, so we are asking for nonviolence in our world. This is the way and the path to unification. And so this really came from a direct lucid dream experience that I had with Gandhi this year. And I feel like it's really important for us to have unconditional and equal love for everyone, the wounded and the wounders. This is the way to unification. And so just a reminder, so if you guys have gold, that's something we really want to start to represent our new reality and to ask for nonviolence and a nonviolent approach in our life, whether it's a comment you're making on a social media post or how you're interacting with each other about your political or spiritual beliefs. It's just really important. So for all of you who are joining in the live, use your chat box to the right. You can ask questions. We invite you to share your experiences and ask questions. It makes this even more fun. And if you're listening later on any of the audio outlets, we just were placed on iHeartRadio this week, which is super exciting. You can use our MeWe forum, which is a private safe space for us to talk. And it's just miwi.com, Buddhist Biohacker Forum. Okay, so with all of that said, I am really excited about our topic today, and I just am so happy to share space with our guest. Welcome, Katie Sinnott.
Hello, thank you for having me, Lisa.
Oh, I just have so much love for you, Katie, and I'm just so happy to have you here, and I was really looking forward to sharing space with you today and to talking about our topic, which is galactics. So before we get into that, I really wanted you to have some space to share who you are and what you do for everybody who is new to you, who maybe missed the first summits of this year, where you taught some great presentations. So,
okay. Yeah. So, I teach yoga of many different varieties and meditation, and amongst several other things. So I'm also a visual artist, a sculptor, painter, and I do healing work. So I do private healings, and as well as working with sound. And so all those things kind of work together. And so those are some of the things I'm up to.
Yes, and Katie's also in our upcoming documentary coming out, Awaken Grace, where she shares her story of awakening, which admittedly I've probably watched 100 times now in editing the movie. Yeah. And every time I watch it, it's like another layer comes from your share. So you guys, that'll be coming out this fall. We're working on the release date right now. So we're kind of finalizing all of that. But so you can hear more about her story when that comes out as well. So
yeah,
I'm pretty excited about that. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So our topic today is galactics, and this is something that we haven't really talked too much about on Buddhist Biohacker. So this is great because I think this just opens a whole nother layer of energy. And so do you want to share, Katie, what Galactics really is to you? And I know we talked about some experiences, and so I'm just going to let you dive in.
Sure. Yeah. When I think or talk about the Galactics, really it's a very familial energy that comes forth. I think about the Galactics really as kind of my roots in a lot of ways, one version of family that has become more present with me, I'd say in the last 10 years, but really actually right at the 2012, December 2012 is when it really started to open up for me in a really kind of crystallized way with a few little seeds before that. But I mean, as a kid, I was pretty fascinated with the idea of aliens and also really, really frightened. I felt like I had been abducted a few times, but it's not something I really focus on too much at this point, but it's entirely possible given some of the memories I have of some beings in my room and feeling like I'd been kind of taken from my room and being scared about that as a kid. And so I've always, you know, I've never really doubted that there are beings out there. And yeah, as a kid, it was a little bit more of a scared thing, but I let that go over the years. And especially after, you know, my spiritual awakening that, I had that we talked about, that just really opened up so many doors. And my fear of all things diminished greatly after that. It was more of an exploration of this wild experience of life that was, you know, so much more than I had known it was before that. So, yeah, when I moved down to Los Angeles, so that was in 2011. I went to go down for graduate school in sculpture. And I was living alone, first time living down in LA, right by the ocean, and had been in several relationships up until that point. And was single, found myself single in a new city right by the ocean and going into an art program where I could really just think abstractly and create. And it required me to really tap in a different way. So I was going into this really unique time and place. And Los Angeles surprised me, actually, especially living right there by the ocean. The power of the ocean was incredible. And the spiritual energy was really tangible. I'm a very kind of visual person. When I get messages, it's less about like, I don't really channel energy, but I see it. I can see it in my mind's eye, and I see it as color often, and texture. And there's just so much beautiful energy streaming in, right over the ocean. And, anyway, so I started to bring that into some of my artwork, but really like a pivotal moment for me in terms of galactic family and recognition was I was about a year deep into my program at UCLA and again working pretty rigorously and in this very altered state of mind for several months, which I enjoyed, but it was pretty rigorous. And I was working on a Saturday and moving some materials, big sheet of plexi around my studio, and I dropped the sheet of plexi on my foot, and I had a plan to just work all day that day in the studio. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, I've got to go get this looked at. This does not look good. We've got swelling happening here. So I went in, I got a little, you know, I didn't break anything, but just a pretty severe bruise and a strain on a muscle. And so they gave me a little booty to put on, and my workday was over at that point. And so I went home, and I realized I got an email or something like that, that Shiva Ray, the teacher, yoga teacher, pretty interesting woman herself, was going to the beach that day at Venice Beach and holding a space for people to come and observe an eclipse that was happening that I didn't really even know about, but it was happening that day. And it was an eclipse aligning with the Pleiades star system that only happened every like 2,600 years or something like that. I thought, oh, you know, that's what I'm gonna do today. I'll, you know, hobble over with my new little cast, my little foot protection, and go to the beach. And I went and we observed the eclipse that was happening, and my whole body just started shaking and I was crying uncontrollably. And again, it was this sensation of these colors that I'd always kind of known as my soul colors of sorts, and ones that I would always paint, as well as mixed with textures, light textures, and it was just streaming and all around me. And it was so clear to me in that moment. Just, it felt like family and like a coming home. And it was just really, really beautiful and surprising. And I had heard a little bit about galactics, but never really had tuned into those conversations. Mm-hmm. And I was open to that idea, but I didn't really focus on it or think about it in terms of myself until that moment. And then it just from then on, I mean, the love was so immense and has been kind of with me ever since. And so since then, you know, there's been other experiences and actual kind of human beings. A part of what I loved about Venice Beach is I felt like there were a lot of galactics on the ground in human form, and I would get interactions and messages with them and learn to kind of see those people on the ground actually. And so that kind of opened up a whole nother space. So
yeah, that story, like every part of my cellular structure, yeah, like woke up while you're telling that story. Like everything, it's like, I'm not cold, but I am like full of like tingles right now. And it's no surprise that you talk about the Pleiades, because that's very much a space near and dear to my heart also. And, you know, what I've found for me, just to kind of share my experience based on what you're saying too, is for me, what I'm finding is that I was always drawn there.
Yeah.
Always drawn to the stars. And when I was a kid, I mean, I did grow up, my dad's side of the family is very scientific. And so they always had telescopes. They were always talking about other planets and they have a whole thing about, you know, meeting one day on the dark side of the moon. I mean, yeah, they're definitely that group, and they've had their own experiences, you know, with interdimensional beings. And so I grew up very open-minded to this energy. Yeah. But one thing I noticed for me is I was very, very drawn to the Pleiades. I used to try to count all seven of them. I really was passionate about like being able to see them. And I was also very, very drawn to Orion. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge part of my connection, and actually a big part of me and my husband's connection is Orion.
Yeah.
And so it's only now in this awakening that we're experiencing that I'm really starting to put all of those pieces together, where it's like, oh, all of this is, yeah, about where I came from, you know, and who I am in this, you know, avatar, is this experience down here. And even we bought this Neptune gong is like the alchemy of me and my husband, and the planet Neptune is directly, this gong is directly connected to the Pleiades and directly connected to that energy. And so as you're talking, it's like, well, of course, that's part of our connection.
Yeah. You know?
And there's so much love. I cannot, you know, hearing you describe your feeling, this pure love. It's like liquid love. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really unbelievable. And it's and I found that when I invite their energy to be around me, it becomes just like, again, it for me, it's like saturated in pinks and purples, but just like, it's really, it is very liquid. Yeah. Yeah. It's very liquid and lots of really magical, wonderful, beautiful things start to happen. It's a very warming sensation, especially the Pleiadian energy. Mm-hmm.
I got this. So part of my I do a monthly transmission, and part of this month was that the collective said that the Lemurian energy is activated. So what they said was November 11th was the indigo activation. So it really kind of pushed, the throat chakra, the communication, the leadership. It kind of asked star seeds to activate the indigo ray, step into their leadership position, start speaking their truth, which a lot of us experience. I mean, we were all online all of a sudden. It was like, ooh, we're all out here for everybody to see. And that it was a very Atlantean activation. And what they talked about was 7-7, which was just 2 weeks ago, was the second wave of ascension. And that it actually was the Lemurian activation, that pink and violet ray. Yeah. And you know, really activating the crystal energy, the Lemurian energy, this desire to be more plant-based, the unconditional love, all of these things. And so I find it interesting that the galactic energy, I mean, fascinating, even this is when we scheduled to have this talk.
Yeah.
Because it's like that activation seems somehow directly connected to the interdimensional beings that are surrounding us. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that or anything, but
definitely no. I've been really kind of fascinated with looking at Mount Shasta. I mean, we go up to Mount Shasta whenever the opportunity presents. Being here in the Bay Area, it's like a 5 or 6 hour drive. But I was compelled. I'm starting it right now. A book about inner Earth and the inner Earth kind of civilizations and Talos and the Lemurian energy. And that connection again to the Pleiades.
God, I love that.
I feel that. And also a lot of like, I mean, it depends, each of us has our own connections, but I've been feeling a lot of the Sirian energy really strongly too. And my husband has a lot of that about him. When we first met, he was telling me about how he's fascinated with dolphin and whale communications and which is a part of it. And yeah, we're expecting a baby in about 4 months. And so I feel like a lot of these kind of galactic streams are coming into our house right now. Both my kind of connections, his connections, and then from wherever the baby's coming. we're getting a lot of that coming in right now.
Yeah, it feels like they're just so close. Like I've never felt, you know, understanding it and believing in it and carrying it as your truth is one thing.
Yeah.
That's always been there, but really I've noticed there's such a closeness.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like we're being held is how I feel we're being held, and there's so much love and protection and also a call to action. I do feel that call to action, you know, of like, you know, we have to help share these teachings of love and equality and protection of the earth and all of these things, you know, that's coming through, you know, our energy fields from them as part of them. You know, there's many, many star seeds across the planet. And I think all of us are probably feeling that, but it really feels like I can just reach out and touch them. There's not a separation that maybe I would have felt a decade ago. It feels very like connected and close. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were called to leave LA, and I knew that for a while. I met my husband down there, and to move, and I knew wherever we were going to move, we've talked about this briefly, but like part of becoming more in touch with my galactic kind of family and roots and starting to receive messages about that really made it clear that one of my missions here on the planet is to at some point build this temple space for people to come to and to connect in with their kind of galactic heritage, or to just receive a healing, or to connect with the earth, but for that to be present there and also a part of the building of the space. And so that's always with me. It kind of forefronts at certain moments and then recedes into the background as I'm picking up the little pieces of information along the way and being moved. But we knew the move would be related to that, or I really felt that. And so we ended up moving back to the Bay Area where I was born up here. And part of me was like, why are we going to San Francisco? It's so expensive. And like, there's so many other places. And this couldn't be the place for this temple. And maybe it's not, but since being here, and I knew this before we moved, actually, I was reminded, like, the energy for me in the hills up here, just kind of at the ridge between the Pacific Ocean and the San Francisco Bay Area, that's my dreamscape that I kind of go to in meditation always. And also that's where I've had so many dreams connecting directly with my galactic family, with these kind of big circular ships landing in the hills out here. And just walking out there is enough for me to connect in with them and just feel them. It's never really about channeling so much for me, but so that has been, yeah, I feel that closeness too. And I'm really, really grateful for that, especially with everything that's going on right now, to feel really held and to, yeah, like you said, to be held on mission too, to stay clear, you know, like we have work to do for this earth and for each other. So to receive that support and keep moving.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm curious, you know, for those who are watching or listening, I'm guessing that some folks are saying, well, how do I connect? You know? And I think one thing that, you know, right away when we met, which has been a while now, like back in March, for the first summit that we did together, but, you know, is the gong and the sound healing aspect. And I immediately recognized that and knew that that was something special, because I think, you know, what I've experienced is while there's lots of sound healing, there's this little community of gong people. It's like a small community compared to maybe crystal bowls or any of those things. And I think for me, my husband is a drummer. So he and a metallurgist. And so for him, the energy of the gong and the metal of the gong. And for me, with my Tibetan practice, you know, I don't actually work with crystal bowls. I work with brass Tibetan bowls. I have a very earthy desire versus the crystal. And I know you work, I think, with both. And so I'm just curious if you want to share a little bit about how folks can connect to that galactic energy. How do you use sound to do that? How do you think sound's involved in that? I mean, there's a lot of questions in there, but.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, working with sound is an amazing way, or just even experiencing a sound bath. The gong brings forth this big, creative, universal energy. It's really surprising in what's contained within it. It's been described from some of my teachers just, yeah, as the sound of creation of the universe. And it really, it really is a very full sound and can take you deep pretty fast, whether you think you'll be able to or not. I've had a lot of people say, I'm not sure if I can, you know, get into a meditative space with it. And it takes you there pretty fast. It calms down the mind, the thinking part of the brain so that you can go into a really deep, relaxed state. And if you put forth the intention, I think that always helps to put forth the intention that you would like to connect to your galactic family. That can always help facilitate that, whether it's through sound or anything else. But if you start to put that out and be open to it, you might be really surprised what you receive back. Walking in nature, for me, being in bodies of water has something that's come forth, for at least especially with the Pleiadian energy. So taking a bath for me and meditating.
I'm right there with you on that. I do a salt bath like almost every day.
Yeah.
Pretty passionate about it. And, you know, water is such a conduit for our third eye and the ability to really open up. But I am right there with you. I totally agree. Like even the pool finally opened. Mm-hmm. And just going and being in the water is such a, like, it's amazing how much you can connect. Feet in the water, swimming in the water, the ocean is ideal, of course.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things, but the water is a really incredible conduit. I agree with that. And if you can combine gong sounds and water, you're like,
Definitely.
You're home.
Yeah. And, just whatever it is that's in your world that you can connect to. And maybe if the opportunity pops up to do a sound bath and you've been wanting this connection, go towards that. Or, what else? Yeah.
It's worth noting something that's coming to mind is, you know, Pisces, we're definitely, Pisces bias at our house. Mm-hmm. In all ways. The Pisces planetary gongs, they have all the sounds on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth noting that just listening to the different planetary sounds and feeling where you connect is worth it. Even if you're not going to buy a gong.
Yeah.
I think listening to those sounds. And then there's also on YouTube, you can listen to the sounds of the planets. They actually have recorded sounds of the planets and they're they're intense and they're definitely, they feel very extraterrestrial for sure. Yeah. But if you listen to that, energy, my husband produces music. And so he layers some of that into his music, which is really incredible. But I think it's worth noting, like, go to YouTube and listen to the sounds of the planets and the planetary gongs and allow that to kind of pull you into a different space. And I think, of David Bowie too. I think, you know, he was very galactic.
Yeah.
Of music. Like there are many in Prince even, I mean, you can listen to some of their, what they're pulling in. I mean, it's very interdimensional, I feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like the idea, and I've thought about this with mantra as well, but it's like using sound to become more adept at changing the channel, so to speak, about like where your mind body kind of frequency is. So using sound in that way and sacred sound to be able to tune into different frequencies. And sometimes we just find ourselves in them for different reasons, walking on the land in a sacred place, or submerging in a beautiful body of water, or sometimes just being with like-minded friends at a certain moment in time that can create a heightened frequency too, where all of a sudden, you know, you experience something or get a message or something like that. I've had that happen as well. So it's really exciting and it is really close. And I think people should know that for all of us. It's right there for you with a little invitation. It's right there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you won't even be listening to this unless you're likely a starseed. Something's drawing you into the conversation.
Yeah.
And I want to invite, you know, there's lots of you guys watching live. I want to invite you, if you have questions or a story you want to share, comments or anything, you're welcome to share them in the chat box, because we'd love to hear it while we're sitting here talking about all of this. But yeah, I think what seems to be happening in this ascension process is everyone is waking, you know, it's easy to say we're awakening to who we are. Mm-hmm. There's a big part of that that's awakening to this idea that who we are isn't earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've had this really distinct experience through this time of becoming aware of how much I love this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that I really wanted to be here, you know, like I really wanted to be here and I wanted to really connect. And I'm having this like new understanding that while my soul energy may be coming from one of these stars, that I wanted to project that energy and that light here. And I've really gotten this message through teaching meditation, yoga, all these things this year about bringing your palms down, connecting to the earth. It's about bringing that galactic energy through and giving it to our planet and allowing Mother Earth to like feed it and feel it. So I don't know what are your thoughts about all that?
I love that because that is absolutely kind of a huge part of how I feel about being here again on the planet, knowing that I have a lot of different streams coming in from off planet, but that it's all about just this really great love for this beautiful earth that we have. And it's so mixed in. I'll share an experience I had, because I think for me it was pretty powerful. So this was in early 2013. And like I said, I was, living in Los Angeles, I was deep into my graduate program and I had just finished my senior thesis. And I've been working on these big pieces, like room sized, huge pieces. So treating it kind of like a big abstract painting. So really it was rigorous in that sometimes making one, you know, mark like on a giant painting would take me a few days. And I was cutting up the walls and using lighting and, again, very influenced by meditative practices, but these layered spaces. But it was really satisfying, a lot of hard work, and I just finished, and I was, my thesis, my culminative project there. And I took a trip to the East Coast, and like I said, I'd been in this very abstract, kind of heightened creative state for a long time, and was just emerging into the world, pretty fresh, and excited to be in this, again, interactive environment, because I'd been so kind of internal for a long time. And I met up with a few friends in Boston, and we were in kind of it created this frequency between the three of us, just based off of where we were all coming from at that moment in time, that it almost felt like we were on drugs. We weren't, but it was very like, it was a lot of fun. We were just walking through the city and having a really amazing day together, and went into the night, and we went walking in Arboretum in Boston, and huge UFO cloud over us that seemed to be moving with us, even though it was so big, you couldn't really see it moving so much, but we all were aware of it and we're like, wow, look at that right above us. That's something. And we went deeper into the Arboretum and we heard some sort of a sound. It sounded like a bird. It was enough to call all of our attention and kind of give us some, you know, goosebumps and get us all a little bit more heightened. And all of a sudden the energy in the space, it felt like electricity. It was overwhelming, and we each responded differently, but basically what we saw, I saw, were glyphs coming out of the ground. That's what it looked like, rising out of the ground with light. And more subtle than maybe dramatic, but it was clear something was kind of coming out of the dirt, rising up in these shapes with some light and so much electricity all around us that I went straight into prayer. That was my way, is that we were walking and these glyphs were all around. My other friend was really scared. She got very scared, but you know, kind of spinning around. And my other friend was so excited. She was like, huge smile, like, yes, and was like taking pictures. And so she was just like, this is amazing. And so it lasted for a few minutes. The glyphs were there, just these really simple, almost they looked like what I would think would be like Native American glyphs. Like almost hand drawn. And it was like clear to me that there was a ship there the whole time, even though we didn't really see it, but I could kind of see it just internally. And then we got out of there after too long. We couldn't really, again, it was so much energy that we couldn't stay there. We had to keep moving. And especially for the three of us, because we were all in slightly different places, we had to keep moving together. But it was really incredible. And just, from what I've gotten from that in the time since, is just the one message that came through was that a version of ourselves was up on that ship. From a different timeline or from the future. And it was a direct communication to us. Another message I got was that it was actually a communication from the earth herself. But part of what I take with that is that it's, for me, it's so, they're so interlinked for my experience right here, right now, is this communication with the earth and the potential for kind of this new experience here on the earth, and also our relationship with the galactics and that part of ourselves, and remembering kind of some of our histories and connections as part of that. And so, so that was an incredible little gift. And sometimes I wish something like that would happen to me again, but then I don't know how. That was such a specific moment, and it did take three of us actually being together for that space to open up. It was also a lot of energy, and I've thought about that too for times when maybe the galactics will be more present here. And that was in 2013, and a lot's changed, and the planet's changed, and we're all kind of upgrading all the time and awakening more and more. And that might be necessary for us to be able to work with some of this high energy too.
Yeah, that story's beautiful. And we've got a couple questions, so I want to get to those, but I just want to share. And it's actually a good segue, because one of the questions here is about the Schumann resonance. So I think it's worth talking about. But I do want to share, I had an experience this year. I mean, I've had many, you know, we've talked about this when we talked for the documentary about how many awakenings you can have. Really, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I've had many this year, but a couple that were very profound. And one of them was, I went outside. This is probably just a couple weeks into the quarantine this year. And I went outside. I was practicing some yoga, just wanting to move my body in nature, in the yard. Couldn't really go anywhere at that time. And I did a reverse warrior. So I was like in reverse warrior. And I looked up at the sun, and this bald eagle flew overhead. And it was so profound. And the sky and the clouds changed. Yeah. And I knew there were energies there. And so I sat down and I went into a meditation, and I had this experience where I saw the time constructs. Mm-hmm. And I saw the understanding of linear time, and then I saw the reality of spiral time, and I saw the helix of the DNA, and that we're really just traveling on this helix. You know, I saw the spinning on the helix, and they showed me that the helix, you know, is really on the side. And so when you're feeling these peaks and valleys in your life, you're still traveling up the helix, you know, but you're going through mm-hmm. this experience. And so they were showing me this energy. And then they were showing me, I've been a trans channel really all my life, I'm sure. You know, I have stories from my parents when I was a kid, but really since 2008 have I been pulling in other beings and the information that sort of lands with me. And what they showed me in this spiral time is that, you know, there is no past, present, future. It's all at the same time. And so when you speak about that part of you and the ship, that, you know, that direct communication. And I think like that is what I get, is literally what's happening when we channel, you know, that we're pulling in ourselves, these other time reality, these other dimensions and times and realities, and retrieving information and truths.
Yeah.
That we've forgotten when we came into this experience. And now it's this remembering. And it was really an incredible experience. In fact, it's changed my language. Like I actually did a talk here on Buddhist Biohacker about linear time versus spiral time, because the idea of, in the past, I had done past life regressions and helped people access. And I don't even use that language anymore. It's like a crazy thing. Cause it's like, how do, you know, it's like, you can't even, once you see these different aspects, you can't even use that language anymore, because it's like you're really just accessing another consciousness in this moment. It's just all it is. And so you're just making me think of that with your story. It's just such a gift, really, to be able to experience that. And to your point about the high vibration and the high energy. So somebody asked, and thank you guys for your questions, asked if, she said, I'm just wondering if you've touched on the Schumann resonance already, or what you feel about this. And I've become very passionate about the Schumann resonance because it's so profound. And there's this discussion of the iron core of the earth shifting to a diamond core and the vibration raising. And so I would love your thoughts on, like, do you follow the Schumann resonance? Like, what are your thoughts of the vibrational shift of the planet? And you were kind of going there anyways, but
I would love to hear more about what you have to say about it. Cause I honestly don't know that much about it. I'm aware of it and the spikes that happen, especially when we collectively kind of meditate together. I would love to hear you talk more about it. And that might.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what I'll say about it. This is what I've learned, cause I'm fairly new to really looking at it too. I think I've started watching it since October of last year. And what I've discovered is when I am very tired, like yesterday is a great example, and I have not checked Schumann today, so I don't know where it's at, but I'm sure it spiked, because I get in these places where I can't keep my eyes open. Mm. It's like this call to like go within. There's like no way, and I'll get really tired. I might sleep 12, 13 hours. I have very intense lucid dreams. So for me, my experience is when the Schumann resonance is high, it seems like the earth's vibration. I mean, so the premise of it is that the higher the resonance, the higher the vibration of the planet. My experience with it has been that when it spikes, there's a big release or a transmutation of energy on the planet, and I'm wiped out. Like I have to go into a dream state where I can process that energy. Being awake is really hard. So that's been my experience with it. And I also am very connected to Yellowstone. And so I actually started watching the earthquakes and the activity. The National Geological Survey has a YouTube channel, for all of you guys didn't know that. There is one, and they have a lot of information, but their website also, you can look at the Schumann, you can look at earthquakes, you can look at Yellowstone itself. There's many different places on the planet where you can view what's happening, and there's something about it that is like you can read it if you're tuned in. I don't really know that I'm not a scientist, so I can't really say the science behind it. I can just say I watch and I notice when there's openings mm-hmm. and releasings and things happening in that space. That's my thoughts on it.
It's definitely can feel these waves and spikes as they're coming.
Yeah.
And with like solar flares is something that I've paid attention to in the past as well. And these influxes of energy kind of hitting the planet. And my husband, he hasn't been doing it recently, but he is really into measuring earth frequencies and creating kind of funky antennas, but radio telescopes, but picking up earth energies too. So hopefully he'll get back to that, but because it's pretty fascinating. And yeah,
it's much more of a, I feel like you and I are on the same page where it's more of a feeling. It's like you just sort of notice, but I have started keeping track. I do check in with mm-hmm. Schumann, and I like your idea of the solar flares too. I think that's worth knowing. I haven't really watched any of that. So that's a good reminder. I just think we need to know what's happening on the planet because it does sort of explain how we feel. Do you get tired like that? Do you get in those places where you're tired?
Yeah, it's been interesting because I've been pregnant though too. And so it's a different energetics. But yeah, I've definitely been sleeping a lot more and taking care. And I know it's, which is one of, the benefits of everything for me, at least kind of slowing down. I'm at home teaching more from home and not teaching quite as much, is being able to rest and take care both for the baby, but also because of everything that's happening on the planet right now. And it's always kind of been that way. I've realized in the past whenever I had major art projects, they were all aligned with like really strong astrological signatures and just somehow the scheduling worked out so that the piece was like up and alive and on view like right during some sort of crazy astrological moment. But
interesting.
But anyway, this feels similar in that there's a lot going on the planet. I have the opportunity to rest, and the baby, for the baby, growing baby too, to just take care. But
it sounds like to write too, which is important. I feel like it's really important that we write right now. Like it feels like there's a lot of information coming in and a lot of information on how to live going forward. I think that's important. I'm really drawn to ask you about the energy centers of the earth because I've just sort of happened upon this. I didn't really know that there were chakras of the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just didn't. And it doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is it took me this long to figure this out. But there was a discussion on another podcast about the heart center of the planet. And it didn't match another person that I follow, another astrologer, and what they said was the heart center of the planet. So I checked in with this and I thought to myself, well, what's this about? And so I did some research online, and of course, there's a clear set. These are the chakras of the planet online. If you go online, it's like every article says the same things.
Yeah.
But I also had this thing because Yellowstone's so powerful. And I'm like, well, and I'm surprised that there's not a whole lot of information about the spiritual energy of Yellowstone. So this led me down a whole rabbit hole. So when I checked in with myself, and this is like totally putting on the spot, but I just wanted, I feel drawn to talk to you about this. When I checked in, the information that I got was that the energy centers of the planet have shattered over the creation of the planet, and that part of the continental shifts that will come over the next 100 years, 1,000 years, however that looks timing wise, is about bringing those those fragments back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious if you have any thoughts or insight or feelings, or, I mean, I just really.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I love this topic. I started looking into ley lines and learning about them a little bit again back in 2013, and met a man who's been mapping them. He's incredible. His name's Peter Champeau, and he's dedicated his life at this point to mapping geometries created by the ley lines. And so it's not just so because the intersection of the ley lines, as well as placement of sacred spaces or temples, cities, stone circles, start to create these emergent geometries that he has mapped and studied, and learned about some of the trauma that's held in some of these geometries, and ley lines, and some of the great gifts that are present and available, in these sacred places. And there's so many. I mean, I've seen some of his smaller studies on, because it's really present everywhere. It's not just a few places on the earth. There's incredible geometries present all over the place. And yeah, seeing that from some of the mapping that he's done. But yeah, when I met with him then, I said, well, what can we do? You know, like, cause it, like, it's not like we want to give acupuncture to these points on the earth. Like that could be disastrous or like scary, you know, it's like, and who, you know, how do we work with these ley lines in a respectful way? Cause the earth is so powerful, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's not like as humans, we have to go in and like heal everything. To be aware of the ley lines is an interesting, is important. He was talking about that, especially in terms of building cities and having awareness of the geometries at play in terms of how you're building with it and around it so as not to disturb the energy. But he said offering kind of art and love to the earth, and you know that some of the Native American groups in the Southwest have their ways of working with the ley lines and turning the wheels, you know, of the earth, mm-hmm. and working with the geometries through sacred dance. And, but I believe that also that there has to be a kind of a lot of healing that's happening all over the planet for things to restructure. And I think that that's at play right now. In lots of different ways.
You know what I read? I can't remember if I heard it or I read it, because I think we're in this time of like, you know, receiving all this information.
Yeah.
But I heard that the crop circles are acupuncture for the earth.
That's the
crop circles are acting as an acupuncture point that's been placed.
So I love that. That's so interesting. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Will you send me those links? I'll get them up in our show notes for the ley lines and things. I'd love to be able to look at it more, but I'm sure those of us, you know, watching would too. And my husband just actually came across this the other day and was asking what the ley lines were. So this is really synchronistic, like meant to be, for us to talk about this. So that's cool. Yeah. I'm planning a restorative trip to Yellowstone with just my husband in 3 weeks. I'm like counting down.
Yeah.
And I plan on doing some work there with all this. I feel like there's something happening there for me, and I really want to connect in with like what that energy is about. And I feel like there's something, I've always been very connected with that space, like always since I was a kid. Very lucky that my parents took us there every year to camp. But as an adult, like I just keep going back. Like I have this attachment to that energy, and I just can't help but think there's something going on there that's obviously an energy center of some kind.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. That's everything that's going on. I mean, it's not, it's a very unusual space. So
it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gosh, I really have just loved this discussion. Like, I hope that we can actually talk more about this. I hope we can schedule something because I think there's just so much to talk about. And I feel like there's so many of you guys watching, and I imagine that there's probably more questions and thoughts that everybody has. So keep them coming in the comments, even in the replay of the video or on our MeWe platform, so that we can maybe we can take some of the questions and come back and have another discussion about some of that if you're open to that.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
I want to give you some space in these last couple minutes to really share how folks can connect with you, what's accessible to them from you at this time, just so that they know how to find you and what you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get in touch with me through my website, which is just my name, and we'll post that. Katie Sinnott at yoga, or www.katiesinnott.yoga. That's the website, but that's a great way to get through to me. And I'm teaching from home right now, group classes of different varieties, yoga and meditation, and then 2 weekly sound baths, which I think have been really wonderful for people. And then I'm also working with people individually, just doing kind of more intuitive healing sessions, Reiki, distant Reiki, and sound healing all together. So, or in different varieties, depending on what the individual needs. So you can get in touch with me about that. Or if you just have any questions at all, I love talking about these topics and I'm drawn to talk about it more and more. So I'm really grateful to be on today. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You guys can hear her whole story of awakening on Awaken Grace, which will be out this fall. We're working on finalizing release dates now, and the trailer's up on this channel on Buddhist Biohacker. So you guys can watch the trailer if you want to and get excited about that upcoming, because it's just so powerful. I mean, I've watched those awakening stories so many times in editing and producing the movie, and it's just, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing. I've had initiatory lucid dream experiences during the process of making this as a gift, I feel, from like connecting in with each of you. So I just love you, Katie. I really do. And I just feel like, you know, it's just the beginning of our connection. And I feel like, you know, who knows what's going to come, but, you know, just thank you for taking the time to talk about this. It's like absolutely perfect timing for this conversation. So.
Of course. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's watching. So many of you. Thank you so much. And, you know, as always, you know, connect if you have questions and you can comment and share. And we'll be back. We have one more live this afternoon with Gwen Sciatta talking about living in the gray and what that means. And it's pretty exciting to, it'll be a good conversation too. So thank you, Katie. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.